fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. The Raptors rebound with a big win over Brooklyn.
Down the lane, counts it in! Oh, plus for DeRozan. Hammers it home. It's a final at the ACC. For the first time since April of 2008, the Toronto Raptors can say they have won a playoff game.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:02, Brady and Walker on your Wednesday. It's Andrew Walker, Greg Brady. The Toronto Raptors get it done at the ACC last night, 195 the final. Boy, it's turned into a fun series, isn't it? It's all tied at one, heading to Brooklyn for game three of this first round matchup on Friday. So what impressed you the most about this win? I think we agree that clutch is a thing. I mean, Paul Pierce is 10 points a game and everyone thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So I think we agree on that front, that you can be clutch. I think we saw it from DeRozan last night.
I think it's just the utter talent that the Raptors have. There's been a team here that's been put together, and they won, I'd say, in very unconventional fashion, because there were two players that we thought for sure would play roles. We didn't know how often they'd play. That didn't get on the floor. Tyler Hansbrough. A lot of people thought at the beginning of the series, well, you're going to want his toughness.
Playoff guy.
Bang's been banging bodies with the Pacers in the playoffs the last couple of years, helping them win rounds. Doesn't see the court last night.
And he still might play a role in this series.
Sure. But then John Salmons as well, not to get in the game. Brooklyn emptied their bench at different times last night. They used Kirilenko, didn't play Saturday, and he was great last night. He's still a superb ball-on-ball defender. I know you think he should be petting a cat somewhere and and planning a cruise missile to strike the Eiffel Tower.
I know. If he's not a Bond villain, I don't know who is.
He's pretty close to one, yeah. I mean, this is the one thing I thought. They've got DeRozan, Lowry, even Amir Johnson, I'd say. Amir Johnson's got raw talent. And a lot of people hated that signing as a free agent and just thought, God, are you just spending money to spend money? But you can encourage hustle and effort, Andrew, but I just think you find poise over time. And even if they lost last night, our takeaway this morning would be they won't win the series. We just don't know what day they'll lose.
Down 0-2, heading to the
road.
Will
it even come back to Toronto? We'd be asking these questions last night. The Nets have more poise and more experience. They're less jittery. They'll probably win the turnover battle every game. Every game. And that's okay. That's okay, because if Toronto has a guy like DeRozan making shots like he makes and they don't get worn down physically, they're in great shape to potentially win the series. It's if they had 100% chance to win before Saturday in the series, it's only slipped to about 80 or 85 now because they've given up home court. That's it.
Yeah, still to come, we'll tell you what you need to know on your Wednesday in the six-pack. We will talk Habs and San Jose Sharks. Montreal moving on to the second round. It's coming up at 7:10.
Now, I retreated to the suburbs last night.
Yes.
You live downtown, and you got your brother in town, so you probably got to... I'm going to stay out Tuesday, get the hall pass, and be around for all the late afternoon for Game 5, try and go to Game 5. What was it like? I know you didn't get to go to the game last night. We'll go to game five next week. But what was it like?
I've been really intrigued from day one. And, you know, we're going on almost a year, I suppose, doing the show. And I've been really intrigued from day one to measure what kind of basketball town is this? Because the Raptors I've lived in this country for 20 years. The Raptors have been a bit of a joke for a long time. I was amazed in game one over the weekend at the buzz in this city. And yes, a lot of it has to do with the Leafs not being there. A lot of it has to do with how easy it is to cheer for this team. Masai Ujiri plays a role. Drake plays a role. However small it is, it's a thing. I was amazed again yesterday. I was down, I went down to the Union area and Front Street and King Street about 4:30 yesterday afternoon. It was insane. And it wasn't just this little Maple Leaf Square. It was the subway station. You couldn't get a seat in a bar anywhere down there. And it was all Raptors. I thought the buzz was absolutely incredible.
Well, and it's a hint for anybody that's under the age of 32 about what
playoff baseball feels like.
Yes.
Or a really big late September game where you're a game out of the wild card and it's a Tuesday night home game and the fall is, you know, the leaves are turning. We haven't had that in over two decades. But it's a big hint. Like everyone's referencing Andrew the 08 playoffs. They're already down 2-0 to Orlando. They are so overmatched and they happen to catch fire and win a game and they didn't come close to winning either the next two. There's been nothing like this for well over a decade to when it was tooth and nail with the Knicks, tooth and nail with the Sixers. And
yeah.
It wasn't even a best of seven first round then. So every game meant a little bit more.
And what impressed me last night, I mean, the DeRozan bounce back, he had 30 points. I thought Amir Johnson was tremendous.
He was great.
Last night, and he was really a non-factor in game one. And it wasn't a perfect win. They turned the ball over 21 times, and you know, it was something they were harping on for a couple of days. They'll have to get better. They're going to, I don't care what anybody says, they're going to have to fight the officials in Brooklyn. It's going to be a thing, more so than it was in game one and two. But I had that feeling that you get sometimes as a sports fan. It's midway through the fourth quarter, and yeah, they weren't playing perfect, and the lead was changing hands. But I got that feeling that they were not going to lose that basketball game. Kyle Lowry and DeRozan and Amir Johnson, they were going to find a way to win it. And they did. Right? DeMar kept getting to the line. He kept making his free throws.
And yet, Paul Pierce makes that three. I don't even think they would have necessarily lost. I know people felt like that would have been a dagger. I got to look up the exact clock time. It felt like there was... What, 26 seconds left, 27 seconds?
It was more than the shot clock. It would have put Boston up by, or sorry, it would have put Brooklyn up by
and
one.
And he didn't have to hustle on that shot at all. They could have waited that out, held the ball to about 12 seconds left, and if they make a basket, and especially if they put the Raptors down one, it forces the Raptors to have to scramble up the floor. But look,
it really came down to that shot. This city was freaking out, wasn't
it? How did you feel? People need to remember the play, but Vasquez is throwing the ball inbounds at midcourt, and he's looking for Amir, and I'm going, oh, God. And Amir kind of, I couldn't tell if Joe Johnson touched the ball or it was just an awkward touch, but then Amir just, it's like an NFL player, running back, just you go, how'd he get in that easily? Getting to the bat, how do you not foul Amir Johnson? They couldn't get to him.
Yeah, and the game was over.
That
right
was it.
7:09. Let's get you what you need to know on your Wednesday.
Your Wednesday morning six pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Now, on with the countdown.
All right, this is what you need to know. And we'll start back at the Raptors game. You had referenced this earlier. So Drake was sitting courtside, global ambassador, all that, big Raptors fan. What was going on? Because this was making the rounds, it kind of went viral, and I didn't really understand it.
Yeah, there's a GIF or a GIF everywhere with him taking basically one of those, you know, you go and you see the dollar section in at Shoppers Drug Mart, and it's like travel items.
Yeah.
Like you can get a small mouthwash, you can get a small deodorant, small baby powder. He gets a small lint brush. It wasn't one of these gigantic ones.
It's not like a one they use on your pet.
And during play. He's rolling it up and down the right leg of his black pants. Now,
he's a stylish guy.
I don't like lint. I have cats around. I don't like pet hair. I go to my parents and I'm covered in it because they have dogs and cats galore and alligators and stuff. And so I've carried a lint brush before, but in the middle of the at courtside, it's not like he was scratching his balls or something like that,
like
but it's a bad look.
It can't be that big of a problem, all this lint.
As Adam Van Cooverden on Twitter, Olympic hero, said, wait a minute, you started from the bottom and you bring a lint roller to an NBA game? It's not a bad point by Adam Van Cooverden.
The only thing I took out of that rant is that you own cats. Big shock.
Well, I mean, if he was moosing his hair while play was going on,
true.
Or applying foundation, I don't know what would have been worse.
Number five, Albert Pujols becomes the 26th player in Major League history to belt 500 career home runs and the third youngest to reach that milestone. Two last night to reach the magical 500. He's 34. Kind of a forgotten guy, though, lately, isn't he?
Yeah, how about nobody's ever hit 499 and 500 in the same game? I found that intriguing. And we know this is true with 300-win pitcher guys. You won't be able to do it anymore. You got to go 20 years. And we
might have seen the final 300 wins.
Average 15 wins. Roy Halladay had a crack at it. Verlander might have a crack at it. But
I think all of Detroit's pitchers.
That's right. Adam Dunn needs 57, and he's got 6 years left. He might get there. Cabrera's going to get there, but... Look at the guys that have gotten really banged up that you thought... Ryan Howard, I think, look like a 500 home run guy the first 5-6 years of his career. He's not going to get there. Jason Giambi looked like a guy when he was 32 who was going to get there. He's not going to get there.
Well, even you look at a guy like Jose Bautista. The guy's a two-time home run champ. He's hit 50 before. Hank Aaron never hit 50. Bautista's not getting a sniff of 500.
And David
probably not.
And David Ortiz has 434. He just started a little too late. I mean, he really didn't get his career roll until he was about 27 years old.
Number four, Stanley Cup playoffs last night. We'll focus on the one series. I know the Rangers won and Boston won as well. But San Jose, an overtime victory in L.A. It was late game. 4-3 the final. Patrick Marleau, that playoff loser, scores another overtime goal like his 50th of his career. As the Sharks are a win away from sweeping the Kings, Greg.
And perhaps a San Jose-Anaheim second round. It's really intriguing, though. The conference finals have been their bugaboo. I think the stat I saw, they're 2-12 in their last 14 conference final games. You remember Edmonton beating them. Was it Calgary beat them, too, in the finals, or was that second round in 04? That was
Calgary
the conference
did
finals,
beat them in the conference finals in 04,
so they've lost 12 of their last 14 conference final games, and they're still a ways from getting there.
Quick question, quick answer. Do you feel differently about San Jose this year than you ever have before?
Just a little bit. Not as much as a lot of people. I wouldn't have picked them to win.
Number three, Blue Jays over the Orioles last night. Kind of the forgotten game on the night, but 9-3. They get by Baltimore at the Rogers Center, and it was three-run home run night. They were down 3-0 after 5.5, but then Edwin Encarnacion finally hits a three-run shot to tie it. Brett Laurie, a three-run shot. The go-ahead in the eighth, and then Melky Cabrera, for good measure, another three-run home run in the eighth. So 9-3 the final, and it's a tough one tonight. Chris Tillman and Dustin McGowan. McGowan beat him in Baltimore, but they had to use a couple of unearned runs to do it. Number two, the Montreal Canadiens. Greg, they're the first team to move on to the second round. They sweep Tampa. Kind of obvious to say now, but Tampa was doomed the second that Ben Bishop went down late in the regular season, weren't they?
Yeah, and they still were able to hold home advantage. They won their last four games of the regular season, so they were a little bit deceiving. At one point, obviously, we thought Toronto was going to finish ahead of them, and at one point, we thought Detroit might even catch them, but they held their ground, and for the Canadians, nothing better than, you know, you clinch it on home ice. They get the next couple days off even from practice, and they're not going to be a banged-up team next round.
It's premature to say, but, I mean, let's say Boston gets by Detroit. Can Montreal beat Boston?
I don't like him to do it. You think they have a better chance than I do.
I think it's a real possibility. Yeah. I really do. And I'm not in love with Montreal. I just think they give the Bruins fits in that matchup.
Maybe I'm over in love with Boston because I just even thinking about what they did to Pittsburgh last season. I know Pittsburgh and Montreal different makeup.
And the number one thing you need to know, we're going to game three in Brooklyn, all tied up at one. Raptors with their first playoff W since 2008, 195 over the Brooklyn Nets in game two. DeMar DeRozan was the story, 30 points, 9-21 from the field. But he kept getting to that line and kept making his free throw. So game three, it's going to be a lot of fun Friday.
All right, after 7:30, we'll tell you how we're flying you to Brooklyn from Porter Airlines. We'll get you right from the downtown airport into Newark. Two nights hotels, two tickets to see the Raps and Nets on Sunday. A game we'll have right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fans, 7 o'clock tip. But right now, we open the ticket window for the Blue Jays thanks to Great Blue Heron Charity Casino. We want to give away tickets to Saturday's game with the Red Sox here. John Farrell, most successful season as a player in 88 with the Tribe. We want two former Jays. There were four in total. We're only asking you for two of the four former Blue Jays that were John Farrell's teammates on that 88 Indians team. Name those two of four. 416-870-0590.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Keep it here for more Brady and Walker. Only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, brother.
7:23. Good morning. It's Brady and Walker. Andrew Walker, Greg, Brady, and Jays and Red Sox coming up this weekend. And congratulations to...
People who won things. We don't know the winners yet.
We don't know the winner's name. The trivia answer. Our question today... Yeah. Was John Farrell's most successful season as a player came in 1988 with the Indians. He was 14-10 that year, named two of the four former Jays that were on that Cleveland team.
Those four were Willie Upshaw. How about that? Tom Candiotti. The Candyman, friends. Corey Snyder and Joe Carter.
We're
all
80.
Carter was just an RBI machine with the Tribe.
Yeah, he was
incredible.
He was like Brett Laurie.
Blue Jays ticket window is
there
brought
was nothing
to you,
like that.
It's brought to you by Great Blue Heron Charity Casino.
So
as we'll do it every day at 7:20.
If you
also
won,
still to
you,
come.
If you won, you know you won.
Jeremy is the winner. Congratulations.
Oh, good for you.
Just wanted to get that in.
And we'll be giving away or qualifying our latest qualifier for the trip to Brooklyn for Game 4 Raptors and Nets coming up at about 7:40 this morning.
So back to the NHL and three games tonight, all of which have some intrigue. You're going to see Colorado attempt to get by Minnesota without Tyson Barrie in St. Paul. You're going to see Columbus at home against Pittsburgh try not go down 3-1. Pretty significant there. And then Dallas, Anaheim. Our next guest, part of the Hockey Central at Noon crew, and he won't get to go back to Tampa for work-related purposes, but may get to settle for a little bit. Doug McClain joins us on Brady and Walker. No one saw a sweep coming, but when did you have an inkling that the Tampa wasn't going to win a game in this series?
I guess after game two is when I would have said that there was a pretty good chance it was going to be a sweep. I mean, both games in Tampa the first game was a close score, but, it wasn't really close. And then domination in the second game, and for sure in the third game, domination last night was a little closer. But, Bishop was that big of a loss, that big of an issue for the team. They couldn't seem to recover from that loss of their MVP. So, they didn't play very well.
Doug, give your kind of grade on Tampa, I suppose. Anytime you get swept, you're going to ask organizational questions, but it was such a weird year for this crew, wasn't it? Stamkos breaks his leg, and as you mentioned, Bishop goes down before the series. The whole Martin St. Louis thing, they had to trade him before the Olympics. I mean, all those things kind of added up against this team.
Yeah, they faced a lot of adversity. And look, they went from 28th in the league overall a year ago to 8th, 101 points. Bit of an aberration for me that Bishop was that good. Is a little bit like Ottawa because Anderson covered up for a lot of issues and, Spets out and Carlson out, and they had such a great year last year. So I was disappointed in their play in this round. I thought Montreal dominated in the neutral zone in games one and two in Florida, where they took away Tampa's team speed by playing a 1-2-2 and playing it to perfection. I thought Tampa didn't counter, to break that neutral zone defense situation. Then they come to Montreal, and Montreal dominated offensively in the neutral zone by stretching out the neutral zone, by confusing Tampa's defense with umpteen two-on-ones and breakaways. Like, it was bizarre to me, the control of the neutral zone. And the thing that drove me crazy in the series was Stamkos on an island. I mean, you love young Johnson, Tyler Johnson, as a rookie, but he plays him with Johnson and Killorn. And last night, finally, he put Callahan with him. I mean, come on. When you've got a star like Stamkos, you've got to give him Filppula, you've got to give him Callahan, when things are going south, you've got to mix it up and get him with your best guys. And finally last night they put Callahan with him, and I said it since game one, like, give this guy some support. I mean, I thought it was a learning experience for Cooper this playoff round. And, he's got to step back and say, well, what could we have done differently? Now, beating the trap or the 1-2-2 in the neutral zone is you need your defense on top of their game. And their defense were not on top of their game this whole series. They weren't good enough, to be quite honest.
Yeah, Brewer had a rough series. Gudas had a rough series after a pretty good regular season. Hedman probably too. Doug McClain, our guest on Brady and Walker. If it comes down to this, if Boston moves on, does Montreal present some difficulties for Boston in that next round?
Wow, I'm nervous because I said I thought LA would beat San Jose.
You're not the only one.
But
many did.
I think Boston, it'll be an interesting series. Boston, people say, well, they're big and they're strong, but they also, down the middle, Krejci is a horse, especially at playoff time. We all know Bergeron, what he's capable of, and then you got the Chara factor. I think Price and Tuukka Rask is a wash. They're both excellent goaltenders. I see Boston winning the series. I think it'll be, does it go six? Does it go five? But I see Boston winning this series.
And see, that's the struggle with Price, isn't it? I know you and Nick had a great debate about the Olympic pressure versus the Stanley Cup pressure. But that to me, Doug, if you can out-duel Rask and you can get Carey Price to the conference finals for the first time, that's when he arrives. I don't think many people think he had a 903 save percentage. He didn't need in this round. He didn't need to be great against Tampa's goaltending, but that makes him elite if you outduel Tuukka Rask and get your team to the conference finals. Right. Of course it does.
But he did some things in this series. You go back to game one where it went overtime in a funny game that it kept going back and forth and Tampa kept clawing their way back into it.
Mm-hmm.
He made four unbelievable saves in that first overtime game, and you know it was a bit of a step. Game two, they couldn't beat him. He was that good. Game three, real solid. Last night, a couple fluky goals, but he looks sharp. Like he looks solid and he looks good right now. I was looking at him last night from the press box. He's so technically sound. He's so relaxed in the net. He's so composed. Even when they tied it last night, he looked good with three or four saves. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But Tuukka Rask's second of a goalie, I mean, to me, it's a wash.
I think before you go, we'd all probably say if we had a game to pick from the three tonight in Columbus, in Dallas, and Chicago, we'd watch the Blues and Blackhawks. Do you feel like the Blackhawks out of those three teams down 2-1 just because of the champs and just because they've done it before have the best chance to come back, even though it's against St. Louis and they're missing Seabrook and St. Louis is missing Backes? Do the Blackhawks have the best chance to make something? They could be up 3-0 with a bounce here and there.
Yeah, and the longer it goes, let's not forget the better Taves and Kane are going to be. They hadn't played a game coming into the playoffs for, 4 to 6 weeks, both of them. So the longer this series goes, the better they're going to be. If they can survive one more game, if they can win tonight and get it to 2-2, and then they only have one more game without Seabrook, I think they're in good shape. But it's a pick'em series, St. Louis. I mean, if you get the lead in St. Louis, although this playoff round has been so bizarre with giving up leads, it's like the Columbus series. Wow, 3-1 leads have been given up. So, hey, it's a strange year, but it's been fun.
We'll be listening at, are you traveling or are you on at noon today? What's your game plan there? What's happening?
We're traveling. So we leave. We get a wheels up at the hotel here at 10:15. But, you know, it would have been nice to go back to Tampa. But
sure, why not? Well,
better go to Toronto. Is it nice in Toronto?
No. 9 degrees. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'll go to Toronto, and then I head to Florida Friday morning because we have a little break, and back Monday, and I hate to see it noon.
I can't see and can't be that with a stick. We'll talk soon.
What happens when you're old? You get to go to Florida.
I can't wait.
You got to get the gray hair going and then head to Florida.
We'll talk soon. Thanks, Doug.
See ya.
Doug McLean. It's pleasant this morning. By the way, I think I misspoke and said Colorado, Minnesota tonight. It's actually St. Louis, Chicago. Even better. But there's a 2-day break in St. Paul for Avs and Wild going into tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, and that is the series that I'm really watching close. And I picked Minnesota in that series. I really thought like their vets over the course of seven games would outshine some of Colorado's youngsters. And yeah, Colorado, they needed a late goal, right? And McKinnon's been unbelievable. But that win in game three for Minnesota, there's something about it. I think it turns the tide. I really do.
We didn't touch on Rangers-Philly. Does that it obviously feel like the Rangers series to lose? Two more wins. They've got two more home games. The goaltending, I don't know who Philly starts. They got Mason into the game to give him some work.
Yeah, well, Mason's going back in game four now. Yeah. It would stun me otherwise. And I think they need him. I don't trust Ray Emery over a seven-game span. Interestingly enough, it's kind of been the series that I haven't really paid real close attention to.
I know,
to
yeah. Point. I didn't see any of Sunday's game because I was driving. Yeah,
because I just think we know it's going to go 6 or 7, and the teams are so similar that they're going to present a very similar matchup in that second round for anybody. But the difference is the Rangers have the goalie that I guess you'd say you can count on a little more.
And you'll give him a big check mark. If it ends up being Rangers-Pittsburgh, which is how it leans right now, you'd give the Rangers a big check mark and goal. And they didn't get Pittsburgh in the playoffs 2 years ago. They won and then ended up getting New Jersey instead. And it wasn't a good matchup.
Yeah, and the Rangers' blue line, at least on paper, looks so much stronger.
Yeah,
and between Girardi and Staal. And
everybody's healthy. Staal's this is the healthiest he's been in the playoffs for the last 3 years. So that's a big factor. All right, well, they're going to let you know what we'll do after 7:40. We have a qualifier to go to Brooklyn on the weekend. Two nights hotel accommodation, two tickets Hard to get tickets to go to the Barclays Center. Raptors, Nets. It's going to be 2-1 for somebody Sunday night, and that's the fun part of it. We're going to give you we're thinking of a Raptors playoff game from the past.
One specific game.
Yeah, and we're going to give you three clues. We're going to give you one in about 8 minutes right after the 7:40 update. We're going to give you one at 8:10, and we're going to give you one at 8:20. So 7:40, 8:10, 8:20 are your three times. And then the second we give you the third clue,
right. First
person to call in and get it wins.
Monday, we played Defend the Indefensible. Yesterday, the latest edition of 5 and 15 is we got a qualifier for Brooklyn Raptors Game 4 trip. And today, that's how you're going to qualify today.
We have some consultants flying in to look at 5 and 15 and see how the hell we can make it last longer.
People are too smart here, I'm telling you. In the West, you can drag that on for half an hour. People are idiots.
Yes. It'd be like Celebrity Jeopardy with Sean Connery. We'd be like,
write
your name on a card for 800.
In Calgary, you'd have to be name five breeds of cow. Angus.
Yeah.
Black or, Angus, heifer.
Or first names
Herford.
In ACDC. All right. So we're going to take your Raptors phone calls. Your feelings. Do they have a better chance to win? You've seen this team for two games. Do they have a better chance or a worse chance to win the series than you thought before game one tipped off? It's a fascinating question.
And the secondary topics, Drake, Rob Ford, confetti. What do they all have in common?
Lid rollers, obesity, thuggery. 416-870-0590, star 590. That's next.
This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back, Brady and Walker. 7:43 on your Wednesday. It's Andrew Walker. It is Greg Brady, and there's a reason why we're playing this.
Yes.
It was in the post game last night with Dwayne Casey.
Dwayne Casey made a strange pop culture reference, I thought, in his post game media conference last night.
He's talking about like home floor advantage, right? And
yeah, and being scrappy. Let's play the we'll play the cut, he might have this right. He might not have this right. We love Dwayne Casey, but he might not have this right. Let's play it.
But early in the year, we say we want to be the Freddy Krueger of the NBA. You know, not give up, not give in.
That's all the admirable traits like, shared by Freddy Krueger.
When I think of
never give up,
we don't want to give up or give in. I think Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I think Braveheart.
Sure, Miracle.
Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Yes.
I do not think like Freddy Krueger is a disfigured serial killer appearing in your dreams who probably was a child molester.
Yeah.
Taking kids to boiler rooms.
Yeah,
you don't want to be that NBA team.
You don't want to be the Freddy Krueger.
And is that the idea for the Raptors rebrand? Are they going to wear red and green and have like a claw with razors for fingers?
I think everyone should come to game 5 next week dressed up as Freddy Krueger. Or Otis Nixon.
Then again, all I want to do is spend the weekend eating popcorn and watching horror movies with Dwayne Casey. Because I need to know what his favorites are. Did he mean Michael Myers?
We want to be the Michael Myers because he exemplified those traits that you never give up.
That's right.
You never stop trying. You never stop coming back from the dead for lousy sequels.
Also, according to Wikipedia, for Robert Englund, who famously played Freddy Krueger in like the first seven movies, I know they remade a terrible thing a couple years ago, says in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, terrible movie, Freddy represents the main character's repressed homosexual desires. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine.
That's what they want.
That's
wanna
okay.
Be, I guess. So game 3 is coming up Friday night in Brooklyn. It's going to be much watch, must listen, all that kind of stuff. And then game 4 next week. And we're very excited. We've been qualifying listeners all week to go see game 4 in Brooklyn. This is what you get. Courtesy of Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Round trip flights from the downtown airport to New York from Porter Airlines. Flying refined. Two nights hotel accommodation in Brooklyn at the Aloft, New York, Brooklyn. Two tickets to see the Raptors and Nets coming up on Sunday in game 4. And we're about to qualify another listener for this trip.
So clue number 1's coming now. Clue number 2 will come at 8:10. We'll tell you when the third clue comes at 8:10. But yeah, here we go. We are playing Name That Raptors playoff game. The good thing is we only have about 30 of them to pick from. That's not funny. Here's clue number 1.
No sleep till
All right. in this game, don't call now, because we got to get three clues in. Antonio Davis led the team in scoring in this Raptors playoff game from the past.
All right, so eventually, when we give those three clues, you're going to have to give us the year, you're going to have to give us the opponent, and you're going to have to give us the game number.
Yeah.
And no, it's not the conference finals. Not sure the Raptors have ever... Maybe this year. Maybe this year. Who knows?
Anything ends up being possible. So we asked you earlier, and we threw it out there on Twitter, at Brady and Walker, at Fan590Walker, and at BradyFan590, all on Twitter. Do you feel better than you did, say, at 11:59 a.m. Saturday morning about the Raptors winning this series? They don't have... It's not the Nets series to lose now. It's not the Raptors series to lose. We all know we'd have come in this morning if they'd lost last night, and we'd say that's probably it. That's almost certainly it. How do you perceive it? If I said 10 out of 10 is that they have every chance to win, do you feel they have a better chance or worse chance now?
This is how I feel about the series right now. I thought the nerves were really evident for the Raptors in game one. And I thought that last night, they were going to win that game no matter what. This is a scrappy team. This is a resilient team. Like the Freddy Krueger of the NBA. But yes. I really felt they were going to win last night, even when it was, you know, lead changes in the fourth
terrible
quarter.
Terrible start to the third quarter. Terrible start to the game, but there's plenty of time left.
The start of the game looked identical to the start of game one. I was a little worried then. But this is what I feel right now, Greg. I think, you know that Paul Pierce three with about, 30 seconds to go? I feel we're going to get a moment like that in game seven back at the ACC. That's what it comes down to for me. I think the Raptors have the ability to win in Brooklyn, right? They've won on the road all season long. I think they match up really closely with the Nets. Nobody's going to run away with this series. It's coming to Toronto for a game seven. I really get that feeling. And it's going to come down to a play, a matchup. That's what, if I can forecast right now, I would bet money on that.
Our number is 416-870-0590, *590. You can text us as well. We'll read a couple of those in a sec. 590-590-590-590. Whether you think they have a better chance, it's probably only slightly. It's either slightly worse or slightly better. And as encouraging as last night was, I do lean slightly worse, but only because they don't have home advantage anymore. If this was the other way around, if they'd split in Brooklyn, I would just tell you that the Raptors, it's in the Raptors' favor.
The nerves are out of the way and you're coming home.
There's 3 out of 5 games left. That said, I don't expect the Nets. I think the Nets have to win out on home court. I think this becomes a homer series the rest of the way. The Nets were a 16-25 road team. They were just, and I know that how bad they were and how many arrows and darts Jason Kidd took in November, December, when actually people got to give him some credit for getting this team together. They should. The Raptors have game seven at home. So that's a huge thing in their favor. They got to get there. If they lose in Brooklyn the next two games, its series is probably over as well. Just keep going one and one.
Your goal, if you're the Raptors, is to match what Brooklyn did. You got to find a way to get one win on the road. And, I mean, if they were playing Washington right now, I would have predicted Raptors in five.
Yeah.
This one felt like a 7-game series right from the opening tip-off. And I don't think anything has changed in that respect.
Yeah, but listen, in Indiana, it's not Indiana-Atlanta. It's not Golden State Clippers. It's not a lot of these series. I think it's got a great balance. I think the Raptors have more talent. The Nets have more poise and experience.
All right, so we will talk Blue Jays coming up at 7:52. Brett Laurie with the big game. It's not front row at the Forum with the Lakers, but you did have Rob Ford. You did have Drake, and you did have confetti after the game. It was kind of a number of things that happened.
When you knew Rob Ford was going, didn't you think he'd get a slightly better seat? He was 5 rows from the top of the building. And you just want to be there for a game like that.
Those are the tickets I was looking at StubHub, way up there.
I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home.
Really, enough becomes enough at a certain point. So I was, and he's wearing very much Raptors red. Like the Raptors, he was wearing bright red leaving his office. Does he have a separate closet in his office? Because all of a sudden he'll come in his suit, and then next thing you know, he leaves in an Argos sweater or a Leafs or an Orlando Franklin Broncos jersey. And yesterday it was a Raptors warm-up jacket, and everyone was all worried and saying, oh God, he's wearing Raptors stuff. But better than the jacket, as I pointed out, than not many men look good in basketball jerseys if you wear nothing underneath.
Kids look okay because
they're toned shoulders.
Yeah. Like The Rock looks good. I think
tone
that's about it. Yeah.
Frankie and Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Frankie.
Morning, guys. I think that the Raptors have a good chance. You know,
better or worse than Saturday morning, though? Better or worse?
I think I'd have to say better now, but I did think we were going to do good at the start. But now that I see how we're playing, I was thinking that if we can, you know, not turn over the ball so much, we should have a good chance here. And if the team keeps playing this fast-paced running gun, that's what's going to be the difference makers against these dinosaurs.
I think Andrew made a great point about the formula, and there's no real comparison to the Leafs and how they play. But the Raps might not want to go to the well with giving up a lead, letting your opponent get in the lead by 5 points, and also turning the ball over 20 times. Paul Pierce ripped his team last night. Said the defense was soft. They were more desperate. You know, Kevin Garnett said that's too, you know, it's too many points in the paint. We're ridiculous. We're like YMCA teams don't give up that many points in the paint. So the Nets are thinking they blew it last night. As much as the Raptors went and got it, the Nets are thinking they blew it.
On Twitter, at Brady and Walker, man says, I think they can win if they play Raptors basketball. Ball don't lie. Who cares if the refs do? Scott says Landry Fields was the glue that made the difference last night. I think it was very underrated, right? You're not going to see it on the stat line, but yeah, he played some defense. And Julian says, yeah, at Brady and Walker, if they can limit turnovers, I'd say they have a very good chance. Ball security has been subpar. And yeah, the Raptors have not played perfect basketball through two games of this series.
Let's go Stephen Trenton, 752. We'll give another clue away in our trip giveaway at 8:10. Go ahead, Steve. A better chance or worse chance than Saturday morning to win this series?
Well, I just looked at the play of DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he obviously, you know, double-teamed him in the first game, and he had a terrible game, and then he's really stepped up and unbelievably impressive with the amount of free throws he sunk very late in the game with a minute to go, and they kept putting him to the free throw line, and he kept sinking both of them each time. And must have done that at least three times. So he's got to continue to play at that level, and they're going to have a really good chance.
You might have been like me watching. When he got his fifth foul, he wasn't happy about it. He didn't want to come out of the game. And oftentimes, especially in NBA playoff games, Steve, that guy gets the fifth call, and he'll get his sixth within a minute of coming back in because he's rattled,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was worried about the body language, and that shows you can overrate body language because he was cool as a cucumber when he came back in. No matter how angry-looking he was cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I just think he's going to be a big key. If he can play like that, like last night, that's going to really improve their chances of knocking this team out and going to the next round.
All right, thanks for the phone call. We'll dive into more reaction after 8 o'clock on this and on the Raptors-Nets game, too.
Yeah, 7:53, Brady and Walker. Game 3, by the way, goes Friday in Brooklyn. So the forgotten game last night, in a lot of respects, it was just down the road. The Jays and Orioles. Toronto comes back. They're 10-9 after that 9-game road trip, and they win the opener. Big win against Baltimore, 9-3. 3 3-run home runs. The game winner, Greg, comes in the 8th off the bat of Brett Laurie. Now, you don't got to look at his slash lines to see how much he struggled this year. He's hitting .150. His OPS is in the toilet. His on-base percentage is no better. He struggled at the plate. Yet, you look at Brett Laurie and that game-winning home run last night, his 15 runs batted in, hitting in the 7 hole on this club, which is remarkable. I know we debate wins and losses with pitchers all the time. How do you view RBI? Has Brett Laurie gotten a bit lucky, or has he been underratedly kind of clutch?
Yeah, I think you can overrate the RBI stat, but he is the team leader. If you told people at the water at the coffee machine this morning, he has more RBI than Jose Bautista, people wouldn't believe you.
It's incredible because Bautista's having a whale of a season.
Yeah. The problem is Bautista, you can't get a walk with an RBI unless the base is loaded. And Jose Bautista
has 24 of them, which is incredible.
Yeah. But no, I think it matters less as a stat than we used to perceive it. And at the same time, I am interested in runners in scoring position. I do think some guys hit better in big moments. I do think some guys... It's not the same. Again, these games aren't played by robots, and you're not having the exact same approach every time you get to the plate. You rise to the occasion. Laurie might be a guy that does that.
Brett Laurie put a win in the victory column last night with one swing of the bat, and they could have lost that game, and he could have three singles, and his average would be really healthy. I think clutch is a thing, and he's been really good with runners in scoring position, kind of quietly.
Yeah, he's got to dial the strikeouts down. So does Encarnacion. But that was bright last night. That was a bright spot, and we'll see if Laurie and Encarnacion can keep it rolling tonight.
Still to come, we will talk some Raptors, and the Montreal Canadiens are moving on. Can they beat Boston in round 2 if it comes to that?